Hey, look what we got, Rashi. Look what we got. We got a present. Lame. Here it's cute. It's nesting sock monkeys.
Lame.
It's like little cute little sock monkeys, and look, there's a little one. It looks like me.
Sock monkeys don't live in nests. They live more in like a streamlined RV as they travel the country with a fancy car hanging off the back end and a hot blonde who is driving very unsafely.
Well, I think that is your wish fulfillment there, but I don't think it's going to come true. I mean, I got my wish. It was for sock monkey toys. Aren't they cute?
My wish was to sell a bunch of pharmaceuticals to old Russian people, but the closest I ever got was taking out an 800 number that's just one digit off of the Home Depot door installation thing, so I get to ask a bunch of old people what their social security numbers and their identification information is.
Well, you know you're going to prison one of these days for identity fraud.
I'll save you a seat.
This is Paul Dini.
And this is Misty Lee.
And we're coming at you with another one, Almost Live with Paul and Misty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about today, sir?
Well, you know, I had a thought. I had to make a really quick trip up and down from Monterey last 2 days.
Because you are the best son ever.
Well, yes. It's Mom's birthday, and also it's Valentine's Day. And you and I celebrated Valentine's early, so I could go up and treat my mom to a combination Valentine birthday type event.
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't it? Yeah, he's the best son.
Well, you're a pretty darn good daughter-in-law, because Mom raved over her gifts that you got her, like the sachets that she slept with last night, and gave her nice dreams, and the soap. And of course, the big thing was the plane ticket. We gave her a plane ticket to any place she wants to go. And immediately, you know, and I'm thinking, like, you could come down and see us, or you could go see our sister in
Vegas.
Detroit. She's going, yeah, I could. And then her friend Pam calls her, and suddenly it's like, oh, hello, Pam. What are you doing? You're going to New Zealand, you say. And I said, boy, that was timed correctly.
Oh, that was quick.
Oh, I've never been to that part of the world. And I said, well, throw in a stopover in Tasmania, you can have the whole South Pacific experience.
Yeah. So I think what you said was, yes, that gift certificate works for New Zealand too.
New Zealand too, yes.
Because you are the best son.
And
ever.
I started pricing that them out. Amazing. And I think a fairly good, you know, ticket to New Zealand would be about, you know, $800 to $1,200.
Well, that's far less expensive than I budgeted, so we're in good shape.
Yeah, it's good stuff. You know? Yeah. The problem is she does have to get up and walk around. You have to, when you fly to Australia, you have to do laps.
Mm-hmm.
You have to run around, even if the flight attendant glowers at you, even if the other passengers are, you know, gouging you with your elbows, you have to run and do laps to keep the blood circulating, because it's like, you know, a 4-day flight to Australia.
4 days.
4 days.
If you're flapping your arms, maybe.
Yeah. Well,
what is it really, like 20 hours?
It's something ridiculous. Yeah. Lewis Black has a routine about it, how he goes to New Zealand to perform, and he gets off the plane. You could be happy performing to an iceberg filled with penguins. You're just happy to get off a plane.
Yeah.
I think it's 15 hours. Because I've done it twice.
Vietnam is 13 or 14.
Yeah.
And so that's...
Yeah.
Well, that kind of hooks into what I thought would be kind of an interesting subject, which would be airline travel, because we've flown so many times over the last couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
Since October, we've been to New York twice, Detroit twice.
Mm-hmm. I was in St. Louis.
You were in St. Louis.
Performing.
And you're going back to Detroit again in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so we've been spending an awful lot of time in the air. And
money on tickets.
Well,
not really, because I have the mileage.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, we got some frequent flyers.
It pays off. You know, you got mileage on the credit card, then you got frequent flyers.
I just got a note this morning, 2 months after Delta decided that my miles had expired.
Yeah.
I got a note this morning that said, now, starting today, miles don't expire anymore. And I thought, up yours, Delta.
Oh, yeah.
Why would you do that?
But they wanted to reset all their books.
What's that?
They wanted to reset all their books. They're like, okay, now they don't matter.
Well, I think that's what happened, is they waited for everybody's like miles that could expire to expire, and then they started everyone fresh. You would think that they would start you fresh at the beginning of the year in January. But they didn't. No. I think they're starting it next quarter, which would be April 1st, right?
I don't know. It's arbitrary.
Wow.
Yeah, I was just like, how rude.
Well,
but you know.
But you love flying, and you've wanted to take pilot lessons.
I would prefer to take pilot. Yeah, I'm excited about pilot lessons.
That could be fun.
Yeah.
Our friend Frank says that he'll teach me. He says, let's go flying.
Wow.
And he got me involved in the Airline Pilots Ownership Association, which is the AOPA. And then you can get these flight training magazines, and they come right to your house, and it's AOPA. It's either .com or .org.
You know, I did really grouse about it, you know, because I just sort of naturally protective.
Well, and you had a bad experience with a pilot.
Well, I'm naturally protective of you, and also I'm naturally cheap, so I don't want to do anything that spends a lot of money. But
well, and you won't let me get a motorcycle either.
You can have a motorcycle.
Okay.
Okay. Nice. My birthday's that coming. Well.
I know.
That's what I want. Yeah. Well, I already have my birthday gift though.
So bargain, bargain up.
It's the CIA training.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Ask for something huge, and then you'll get the cool things that come.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter. Anything. I am so lucky that we are in a financial position, A, and B, that he has a heart of gold. And so if I say, I really want a motorcycle, there'll be one out front with a bow on it within 2 days.
Yeah, because I also know that, you know, I may grouse about it. I may complain, like, oh, it's dangerous and everything. But in my heart, you know, it's like, vroom, vroom, it's my turn. What am I getting on it?
Yeah, as soon as you finish your training, so you've got to get an M1 certification.
Yeah, but today...
Although,
what?
We could get you a sidecar.
Oh, yeah.
Nice,
gonna,
there
I,
you
if
go.
If I get a sidecar, I want a Robin costume to go around in it, so I look like, you know, a big old dork, you know. All right, Batman, I'm in the back sidecar.
I don't want you dressed as Robin in my sidecar.
I don't want to be dressed like Robin.
I booted you out of
any...
my sidecar.
In any situation.
You are forbidden from getting in it ever.
I like sidecar. I like motorcycles.
It's not an option for you anymore.
It's very... It's
the sidecar
very,
is no longer an option.
It's very Berlin. It looks like old Berlin. You know, it's
only
like,
if you're wearing the appropriate helmet.
She's unhooking the sidecar and you're rolling by yourself now.
That's right. Oh, no. I never even started.
I'm going by myself going, Schultz, come back, Schultz.
So you're going to be dressed like Robin wearing a German helmet and swearing in German. Oh,
I'm
going to
be dressed like a Gestapo. You know, I'm going to put...
You are not only not in
scar
my sidecar.
My, yeah. Yes, drive me in my sidecar, Schwein.
No.
Yeah.
Let go of that fantasy because it is never going to happen.
Sidecars are dangerous. That's what I hear.
Sidecar being dangerous or not.
Both the drink and the
not
the
your
vehicle.
Concern anymore.
You know, drink a few sidecars at Musso Frank's and get in a sidecar. It's a recipe for disaster.
It would only be a recipe
for big
for
laughs
disaster
if you're not.
If you were driving, how active, alert, and focused do you have to be in a sidecar?
I don't know, but I know that
how
they
could it be dangerous?
I hear they get unbalanced kind of easily.
Like, they have three wheels.
I don't know.
You are just sort of sticking out there on the side, and if the driver forgets about you, you can just sort of wander into oncoming traffic on that side.
I guess there's that.
You know what would be awesome?
Or if you're like on the freeway without that cement wall on the side, and they forget, and you...
Yeah, exactly.
You'd go tumbling
down. You know what would be awesome, though? To really freak people out, it would be great. Like a performance vehicle, a sidecar that's a bathtub. And you get into the sidecar... And you're taking a bath, and you're lathering yourselves up, and someone's driving you, and you're just having a bath on your way to
you know
where
what?
You're
not
going.
Only do I not want you in my sidecar, I don't even want to talk about him with you anymore.
A bathtub sidecar?
You have put me off of sidecars for the rest of my life.
Your hero, Harpo Marx, drove a motorcycle with a sidecar in Duck Soup. And every time, and the gag was, he kept running off and ditching Groucho all the time.
Yeah, his sidecar had a car of its own or something.
Yeah, and finally Groucho gets hip to the gag, and he says, oh no! This time I'm driving. And so Harpo gets in the sidecar and he peels out in the sidecar.
Mm-hmm.
Harpo knows how to do it.
Because Harpo made it cool.
Harpo
would have
a bathtub.
Wasn't taking a bath in it.
He would have if he thought of it.
And it would have been funny if he did it. But for some reason, I don't know what it is, Paul. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Well, let's
get
back.
It's just not okay.
Let's get back to planes because I
could. Oh, right.
I could, you know, today when I was, when the plane was taken off from Monterey Airport, which is a nice, tiny little airport, mm-hmm. I saw all the private planes and all the private jets and I was going like, yeah. They have a private terminal there. It's pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, like, it would be so cool to have a plane and just fly up and down the coast.
Yeah, we wouldn't have to put the dogs in luggage or cargo or whatever they call that.
Well, they'd be sitting on
the... They won't ever be in there anyway.
No, we'd put them in their crates, you
know. Of course, but I mean downstairs in the plane.
No.
They could just stay up with us in the pressurized cabin.
Yeah, but that would be fun. And I'm just thinking that would be, you know, I can get into it. because I think it's mostly because that's such a nice, tiny little
airport. So you're going to let me get my pilot's license?
Sure.
Right after my special training in April, I start pilot training.
Okay,
let's
nice.
Just say. However, before I go and get that pilot's license, which I've wanted forever, and last year, Renee Geerlings and I, the reason we have our motorcycle certifications is because... Last January, it was my New Year's resolution. I said, you know what? I've been talking about this forever. I'm finally just going to go learn how to ride a bike. And so January 12th, we went and got them because it was just like, it's a New Year's resolution. We might as well just get it done. And it was one of those things. I called her on a Monday. I said, hey, next class starts Friday. She goes, I'm in. And we just did it together. And we were the only two broads in the class.
And also, you looked hot in the leathers.
How do you know? You never came.
Yeah, well, no, I saw you come home with the leathers on. So it's like, yeah, good stuff. I approve.
See, I'm more
he
fan
approves,
of the
won't let me ride a bike.
Pilot's outfit, the jacket and the goggles.
Not the Pan Am stewardess.
No.
You like about, the Snoopy thing.
It's about the Snoopy. And the
oh,
scarf,
you're like the Amelia Earhart type thing.
You're a sick man, Ezra.
I am.
That's good. That's good.
Now, okay, you and I were talking about this earlier. And that is like
that, ladies and gentlemen, what just happened there is what we call using the Force.
Yeah, the Jedi.
The Jedi mind trick just worked on Paul Dini, ladies and gentlemen. And I reached my arm out because I wanted a drink of his drink, and he passed it right over.
When I was a kid and I made my first plane trips with my folks.
How old were you?
3.
Really? Were that wee and you remember?
Well, I have pictures. I have pictures of us getting, you know, my very first trip I don't remember because I think I was like a babe in arms. I think I was under a year old and my mom flew out to Santa Barbara where mm-hmm. my grandmother was living. And that was a long trip, you know, because it
took you were really cute.
To go from New York to, I know I was under a year, we didn't move to Boston until I was 2. So we were still living in New York, and New York to Santa Barbara was a schlep because you had to change somewhere along the way. But I do remember when we moved to Boston, my brother Bruce had been born and we were wearing like little matching summer outfits and mom was, you know, dressed up nicely to go on a plane. Because back then nobody wore sweats to get on a plane. Mm-hmm. And if you saw us, you know, we were wearing little boy suits and she was rocking the Jackie O look with the, you know, the traveling dress and the gloves and the pearls and
your
everything.
Your mom is hot, dude.
Yes,
she's a good-looking broad.
The stewardesses were dressed pretty much the same way. Mm-hmm. You know, it was pert. You named it right when we were talking before. It's like the pert look.
Jackie O. You said pert. Credit where credit is due. That was your.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
Yeah, it was you. You're the clever one, not me.
But when you saw, it really was sort of like the movie Catch Me If You Can. When you saw the flight crew walking through the airport, it was a little bit of also like the right stuff. You know, you see the lineup. It's all these attractive young ladies holding their little plastic Pan Am box, carry-on cases and their white gloves and their little blue uniforms. And the captains looked like a row of Ken dolls, you know, just, you know, really nicely cut and in the suits and everything like that.
Perfectly manicured mustaches.
Yeah, yeah. And the passengers were the same way. You put on a suit and tie to get on an airplane, Jack. You didn't, you know, it's not like today where you show up, you know, and things that you
the can, snuggies.
The snuggies, yeah. I swear to God, you know, there are people just like in like camo snuggies waiting to get on the plane now. It's like, I can't find my wallet. It's here somewhere.
I don't have a pocket,
no. Mm-hmm. So that was the look I grew up with during the 60s. And then the 70s, when I went to school in Monterey, and when I would fly home for like holidays, I'd fly out of the same airport. And then they had kind of ditched the uniform look for kind of like a stripper look because the local airplanes were dressing the stewardesses in hot pants. So
let's bring that back.
Yes, by all means. And it's
let's bring the stewardesses back that could pull it off. And then let's bring that look
back. You know
what? Because I don't want to see the flight attendants that we had on our last flight in hot pants, especially not that guy.
Although I have to say, all right, this you know, today, the planes that fly up and down from Monterey are very small and very tight. And I asked the woman at the gate, I said, do you have an extender for the belt and everything? And she looked and she goes, yeah, you asked me that before. Yeah, here it is. But she, and I was looking at her and she probably worked there during the 70s and was probably doing the
hot pants, rocking the hot pants.
Yeah, I still have the hot pants. You want to see them?
No,
my locker. No,
thank you.
Just give me my seat extender and I'll sit here in shame, you know. But I...
you had to borrow hers.
Yeah. But I do remember being a kid, you know, like 13, 14, and it'd be like walking out of the tarmac and there are these girls and they're micro shorts and plastic boots, and it's like, well, welcome aboard, sir. And she's like, she called me sir. Oh, man.
She loves me.
Oh, man, I can't wait to grow up and date these girls.
Smoking
then,
or not smoking?
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
And then...
can you imagine being on an airplane with recycled air and people smoking?
Yeah, like, there is no non-smoking on an airplane. I'm sorry, there just isn't.
Well, and there isn't, and then there's also no non-smoking, like, before Michigan passed the smoking, non-smoking law.
Yeah.
Which they just recently did. I don't know when it went into effect. Yeah. But it's quite recent because you were so excited.
Yeah.
Because you would sit in a restaurant and the smoking and non-smoking sections would be right next to each other. Yeah. There's no partition. There are no fans. You're just sitting next to someone who's smoking, but there's no ashtray on your table.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Like, no ashtray means no smoking.
Right. Because that's the definition of clean air. You know, and it's... my whole family smokes, and they were devastated when they passed that law, but I was thrilled. I was like, yay.
But, you know, flying coast to coast up until, it was just like 15, 20 years ago.
It wasn't long.
Yeah, they banned it. You know, they banned it completely. But I would do things like I do remember saying, please just don't sit me next to the smoking section, you know, please. No, you know, I just don't want to.
Still got the signs on the planes even
they
now. Still,
well, yeah, those planes were built like 40 years ago.
Yeah, that makes me feel safe.
So that was the 70s. And then when did you notice a big change in the appearance of the airline?
Well, about 3 months after the hot pants came on, then people started saying, this is sexist and this is crude and this is awful and we need to change this. And we don't want to be called stewardesses anymore. We want to be flight attendants. And then pretty much from the mid 80s on, it was like flight attendant. And, you know, we're not here to amuse you pigs. We're here for your safety. We're not here to be all the little winky wink stuff, because it was big at a time. You know, in the 60s, it was like Coffee, Tea, or Me was a book written about stewardesses. And it was almost to the point of being the Playboy Club in midair, you know, with a bit of implied flirtation that went on. It was all the madman stuff, but you know, for real. And then it, you know, you look back on it, it really was kind of demeaning and everything, and it was sort of like...
Yeah, but those girls choose to take those jobs, you know, and during that time, it's... No one was traded into slavery for the airlines.
Yeah.
No, at least
yeah,
I would imagine not. Money. You know, I mean, if that happened to you, I'm really sorry, and that sucks. But I just somehow...
I don't think those women
were like, you know what, I rock these pants. And there was something in it for them. Either there was a really nice stipend because they got tremendous tips, like
there's
Hooters.
There's probably a good freedom in it, especially, you know, if you felt like you're you know, an independent woman. You'd sure like to be able to go anywhere in the country or the world.
For free. Yeah. And then you get to meet jet setters all the time. And so it'd be a great job for a really good-looking single young lady, you know, who's got the goods to offer.
Yeah. I think everybody on both ends just sort of grew up a little bit and said, look, you know, it cannot be... You know, runway modeling here. People, you know, have a lot invested in the training, and you cannot dismiss somebody once they hit a certain age or they don't want to wear an outfit or something. They, you know, and that's why a lot of the flight attendants are now male, female, older. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't, it isn't just, you know.
Well, and there was another shift too, and it's something that you and I have talked about. Instead of getting a full meal on a flight, you're lucky if you get a snack.
Yeah.
And you are paying now to put your baggage up.
Paying a lot.
$100 sometimes a bag.
Yeah.
And it's really outrageous. But one of the things that just happened to us on our flight to or from Detroit, it was very recent, just a couple weeks ago, the woman stopped by and I complimented her because she had not only a nice microphone voice, which is rare in the airplane.
Because everybody sounds like this over that talking system.
Yeah.
But this woman actually sounded very appealing. And I complimented her on that and her articulate and eloquent way of speaking over the speaker. She had some really nice, fun and funny things to say.
Right.
And she stopped pushing the buggy and turned and smiled at me very smarmily and said, well, this is the only place where I'm completely in control. I might as well make it amusing for you guys. And I was like,
wow.
You're completely in control. You're here to make sure that I stay in my seat.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. You know, I was just like, wow, boy, the Midwestern just came out in me there.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey.
But I was just like, you're in control? How are you in control? I mean, you're in charge of our safety.
She can call the FBI or cops on your national security if you mess with her at all.
But I just, it was so revealing of her character. And I thought, you know, instead of saying, oh, it's so boring and it's just a bunch of rules and I just try to liven things up.
Yeah.
It was, this is the only place where I'm in control. And I thought, well, it seems to me that the pilot's driving the airplane. And, you know, I mean, it was just, it was a really interesting statement.
We actually had some people, so the gate crew, when we showed up late in Detroit, got us on the plane and we actually owe them a thank you note, I think, because we...
Mm-hmm.
And they were very helpful.
Jerome and Michelle.
Yeah, so we have to
U.S. Airways, you guys are awesome.
Yeah, so here's your shout out. We'll follow that up with a note.
Because that was a tremendous experience, wasn't it, Paul?
Mistakes were made.
Assigning
blame would be pointless now.
Oh, well,
however,
you know what?
And apologies were said and accepted.
Yeah, they were.
And so, and
you're
we
right.
made our flight. And,
yes,
but,
we did.
But occasionally, you know, we have...
Mistakes were made.
Yeah. Okay.
I had to dump a bottle of water on him to get him to calm down.
Okay. I okay. But there was some place recently where we had a flight attendant who was so good that we went out of our way to compliment him because he did his job flawlessly. I think it was on JetBlue and we were flying back from New York and we were there in December. He was just, he served us food and he was just really good and he was attentive and...
And not intrusive.
And not intrusive. And that's usually on a flight. I think the best thing about a flight attendant is if they just leave you alone. And most times they do. And occasionally you will have guys who go above and beyond. And that's much appreciated.
And ladies also.
Yes. However, there's one flight attendant type that I just have learned to hate. And for whatever reason, I'm seeing a lot of them in the last 10, 15 years. And that is the one who just makes himself to home and just starts yakking. And, you know, I call them the yakky doodles. They just sit there and they talk throughout the whole freaking flight. And sometimes, like, we'll be in business or first class, mm-hmm. and we'll go, oh, we got a nice first class seat or something. This person, you know, this type of person will come and lean against your chair or stand there with their butt blocking your face and yak to some guy across the way. There's always some diarrhea mouth who's going like, "Yeah, this is my first flight in a long time. I haven't flying anymore, you know." And I said, "Yeah, I wasn't going to fly anymore." And then, "What? No, but here I am." And this flight attendant will just keep talking to him, and then rattling on and on. And we're leaving on like a 6:15 flight. We'd like to get some sleep, but no, Yakky Doodle is just blah 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 blah. And that's happened to me. That happened to me on that nightmare flight on United from L.A. to London about 2 years ago when I was working on Arkham.
Bad experience.
Oh, God, I wanted to get off the plane somewhere over the polar ice cap.
That was more of a sit-down-and-shut-up flight attendant that you had on that one.
Oh, God.
But I used to have the yakky trouble when I would fly the red-eye when you and I were dating and I was going back and forth from Detroit.
Oh, on Spirit.
And that was the worst because I would deliberately book...
The red-eye.
Yeah, I would deliberately book the red-eye in the front section so that I would have some leg room.
Right.
And the flight attendants would stand in their section and talk. But the flight went from, like, I think it probably left at midnight here or 9 or 10 o'clock California time and arrived at 6 a.m. Michigan time.
Right.
And I almost always had to work because I would come out after work on a Thursday, stay Friday and Saturday, and most of the day Sunday, and then go home and have to work at 8:30 Monday morning.
Yeah, that was...
I would park my car, quite frequently I would pack my scrubs because I was dental assisting at the time.
Yeah.
And I would put my scrubs on, get on the airplane, fly back to Michigan and go right in. And it was just like... And when those women would talk, I just thought, shut up! Because the whole plane is dark. Everyone is sleeping. There is not a reading light on in the entire cabin. And they're up saying, oh my God. And then he called me and he was like, what? And I was like, what? And then he was like, I know. So don't you know? Like, I know, right? And I was like, oh my God. You have nothing interesting to say, and I don't want to hear it anyhow.
I had this guy.
It was the worst.
I had this guy in front of me who, this could kind of top that. It was like, not only were the flight attendants yakking, I think it might have been Spirit also. You know, because for a while, I would do like the late night hauls to see you.
Yeah.
There was this attendant who would not stop talking to this guy in front of me, who was talking to everybody. And I just called him Mr. What? Mr. What? Because everything he said was like, And then I went downtown. And it was like, what? And everything was like, what? And it sounded, you know, after 20 seconds of this, he sounded like an exotic bird. What? What?
I was on that flight with you. You were not alone.
Yeah.
Because it sounded like someone had let a bird loose on the plane. It really did. And we were like, whose pet is on the... It's the flight attendant. It was very irritating.
I was going to go see this.
It was funny after a while.
They told me about this movie, about this guy who dresses in a costume. What? And I'm going like, I'll show you what. I'll repeat it till you shut the... I never wanted to punch somebody out more. I wanted to take off my belt and garrot him. Like, you know, just, what? Speak up. I don't understand you. What?
And what totally doesn't help is I love that shit. And so I was sitting on the plane going, this guy's hilarious. Like, and I think I was in Second City at the time because I'm like, how can I incorporate this? Because it's a question and it's not good for improv.
Okay.
But I'm just thinking that is the funniest thing. Like, what? Like, it was so ridiculous. And he had 800 different ways of delivering. What? I mean, it was ridiculous. It was all over the place. And he just sounded like an awk.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but the good thing about the awk is it's extinct.
Mm-hmm.
This guy couldn't get extinct fast enough for me. I would have gladly hurried him along.
Yeah.
I would have done the Goldfinger on him, you know, shot out his window just to have him sucked out. What? Oh, that's funny. Oh, man. Oh, God. Now I want to find him and take him on a flight again.
We've had the privilege, if you will, of sitting around so many fascinating people. There was a woman who sat in front of us once, and please do not. I guess you have to so they can hear you. But this is
the candle saleswoman.
He loves her.
Oh, okay.
He loves the candle saleswoman.
This is
and
one of my...
it makes me absolutely apeshit bonkers. You guys have to hear this.
Okay, now this was a woman who sold giftware and candles in the Midwest. And she actually used her name several times, and I'm not going to use it because it'll probably get back to her and we'll get sued. But this was a woman who was probably somewhere between 48 and 58, and mm-hmm. she dressed like she was 11. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean pink tights that went all the way down to her ankles and little ruffly socks and then sandals. And then
she had white sandals with pink flowers with little sparkly stones in them.
And big swept up blonde hair.
And it was frosted. It was dark hair, but it was frosted blonde.
And
you know that trashy, like,
Ivo
Tanning frosted blonde stuff? With the wireframe glasses. I'm sorry for interrupting.
No. It's great. You're recalling the details of mm-hmm. the shambling horror. I mean, you know, Yog-Sothoth is not more horrific than this woman. It's And a big polka-dotted sweatshirt.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about...
And bright pink fingernails, candy fingernails.
Yeah.
She was wearing cotton candy perfume.
Right.
She had a fake tan and blue mascara.
Yeah.
And she was wearing... it wasn't just a polka... It was a polka-dotted sweater because she had a striped shirt on underneath it with the matching pink vinyl stuck flowers. You know, like the hot pink and orange vinyl flowers, like cut out mm-hmm. vinyl. That were on her, I believe, white and black horizontally striped tank top that she wore under a pink and white polka dot.
It's like
sweater.
What Polly Pocket's going to look like when she gets older. You know, when she's no longer Polly Pocket, but she's Polly Potato Sack.
Mm-hmm.
And,
wow.
No, I mean, I swear. I mean, you know, big, you know. And she talked a mile a minute. There was this guy... And I could imagine himself, he didn't ever respond to her because I think he toned her out, but I think she was just...
I think he died.
I think he died, or he was like in Airplane where you just see his feet swinging, you know. She's just nice. Done talking to him. And she talked very fast. She's very fast like this. She said, I'm in giftware all throughout the Midwest, and I sell a lot of candles. And I sell a lot of candles, and candles were what I mostly sell. I was at a big candle convention. I was in there, and they put me up at a nice hotel, and I'm a big rep for the Midwest, and we sell all kinds of candles, and we sell fragrance candles. Candles, we sell all different variants, like sandalwood and vanilla.
What?
I'm playing a new candle.
Wait.
Sound like a Tuvan monk.
Did she suddenly stop?
She would talk a mile a minute, and she would go, and she would hit this wall, and it was too low. It's like, and next year we're debuting a whole group of holiday lines, like Holly Bear.
Whenever she was listening to
something, Ginger Snap, and then she would list things. She would say, and she would talk. Like, I'm going to my father's house for dinner, and it'll be a nice holiday dinner. We're gonna have cranberry sauce. And turkey. Oh. And she would list things. Misty, you're at Second City. You got to do her as a character. And she said, I would, except I hate her so much.
I said,
so
I cannot.
If you don't do her, you know, Kristen Wiig or somebody.
You unfortunately can't. That's purely annoying.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was really nothing like... And she seemed like a very nice lady, but it was really fascinating listening to her because her entire life had fallen apart. It was like someone just set fire to her social life and she was just in the middle of a burning circle.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, I have a grown son, but there was just so much wrong.
He's married.
And his
wife has
and
really
children's names are Frederick. And it was really sad and strange and really funny at the same time.
I was just going to say, have you ever had any bad experiences with getting on the planes like they report with all the flight?
Well, in Detroit, we got there really late and I was having a meltdown and it's like, you ain't getting on the plane. And then Misty showed up and said, forgive my gibbering moron of a husband. You sit down. We have first class seats. And it's like, oh, shit,
they were so nice. No, what happened was you got there and you were not well adjusted because we had been through a series. It was a comedy of errors trying to get to the airport.
I was Steve Martin in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
You were. Oh, wow. You had lost it and she was Edie McClurg.
Yeah.
Well then, I guess you're...
Yes.
Yeah.
And she, I mean, she was not... being mean, but they were ready to close the doors. However, we arrived as the last two people were getting on the plane. But here's the thing. What happened was we had plenty of time to get to the airport if we didn't have to return the car. But the problem was when we returned the car, we were left for no fewer than 13 minutes in sub-zero weather waiting outside for a shuttle to take us to the airport.
Which is always the joker in the deck.
And they had for whatever reason, our specific terminal, which was the North Terminal at DTW, which is a Detroit airport that we fly into, was short. The shuttles from our car rental company were short going to that terminal. So there was an extra long wait, just specifically only to where we were going. And so we were standing outside for 13 minutes, and that made all the difference. Because what happened was, if you don't check your luggage in, every airport's different. Sometimes it's 30 minutes, sometimes it's 45, sometimes it's an hour. But if you don't check and get your luggage, if you have luggage to check in, if you're not there within that period of time before, sometimes before boarding, sometimes before takeoff, they won't take your luggage. If you're not, you know, like I right. think Burbank is, depending if you fly Burbank or LAX, and LAX is even longer.
Yeah.
I think Burbank is 30 minutes, LAX is 45. If you don't have your luggage on the luggage carrier and it's you haven't already spoken with a flight attendant 45 minutes before your flight, your luggage ain't going, and yeah. neither are you. And so that's what essentially yeah. happened. What happened was that 2 minutes, we were literally 2 minutes outside of the luggage thing, and they said, no, you're not going. And I said, are you serious? Can our luggage come in on a separate flight? And they said, no, because we don't know what's in there. And even if we go through it, why would we, you know, take the liability of putting your luggage on a different flight, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So what the woman behind the desk told us, and we were already losing it and we were steamed because of what had happened at the car rental place.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it was our fault for not allowing way too much time, because everybody knows that flight travel is irritating, especially me. I'm on a plane all the time. But anyway, we got to the airport with just enough time, and then we lost it. It's a short story. We got to the ticket counter and she said, well, take your giant luggage through security. I won't take it here at the ticket desk, but if it gets through security, I hope you don't have any liquids. And she was very snide, assuming that security was going to take our luggage away and we would have to wait for the next flight. Security took our luggage because we didn't have any liquids, because we were staying at a nice hotel where they have all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So I had to surrender my hairspray. Which I did. I quickly, like, I opened the luggage when it was on the conveyor and I said, here's my hairspray. It's the only liquid I have. And that was it. And we surrendered that and it fit through the machine. And wow. They were like, don't! And so we got through security and arrived with our luggage at the gate as the last two passengers were getting on the plane. They hadn't closed the door yet. And so Paul is running and running and running. And when we got to the gate, they said, we're not taking that luggage.
Oh.
And that was the problem. They would let us on the plane, but they wouldn't let us on with that luggage. And I said, please, we have run a half mile to get here. And I said, and we've, you know, and he lost it. He was just like, after all this, really, you're not going to blah, blah. And I walked up and I put my hand on his shoulder and I said, please sit down. And I said, you know, you're winded, go sit down. And so yeah. he flopped down in a chair at the airport and is, you know, we're dumping bottled water on him. And I very politely told the flight attendants, I said, look, I know you guys are in a bind and so are we. I said, if there's anything you could do to get us on that plane, we would be so grateful. We've come all this way. And if we have to gate check, I understand anything we can do. And I said, and we do have first class tickets. And she just turned kind of like a real deep shade of red and said, we'll gate check your bags. But if we hadn't been, and we didn't purchase first class tickets, we were upgraded to first class because I have so many miles on all the airways. Nice.
Yeah.
And so if we hadn't been upgraded, we would not have been back on the plane. It was the first class tickets because we got through first class security.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have to wait in the security. If we had had to wait in the security line, we would have been toast.
Yeah.
And we had first class boarding passes, which is why they let us through the ticket booth. We got through security fast, and why they let us on that plane. It was that simple upgrade. And it's so interesting how a chain of events can be completely changed with one simple thing. And in our case, it was those boarding passes.
Yeah.
And I thought for sure they would have given away our seats, you know, because...
Well, they were first class, though. No, they wouldn't.
Don't they have a waiting list for first class? Like, if you...
I think they'll bump people up, but I think what happens with those is we were checked in.
And
they could, so, because I had checked us in the night before. So I think what probably would have happened was they would have received... And I don't know, because I don't know how this stuff works. If you're a flight attendant, please write in and tell me what's the right way so that I'm informed, because I'm ignorant. I'm guessing that what they would have done is taken a list of high flyers, like frequent miles people, and said, sir, would you like to come up to first class? We have an open seat.
Mm-hmm.
And then done that once the plane was in the air.
Yeah.
You know, and then you would have got a meal, because they would have planned for us. And I mean, the woman was just a brick wall. When he walked up there, she was like, you ain't getting on that plane. And I said, please, if there's anything, you know, and I turned on the waterworks and all of it. And she was like, and none of it worked until I said we were first class. And then they had to let us on the plane.
That was a mutant version.
Wah, wah.
That was a mutant version of something very cool that happened to me about 20 years ago. I was going to make a plane in Atlanta.
There goes one.
Yeah, a lot of planes flying by in this episode. We didn't really get them until today.
Yeah.
I was changing planes in Atlanta, and I was running to get the plane, and I was in a little bit better shape then than I am now, so the sprint didn't bother me as much. And I'm running for the plane, and suddenly this wiry African-American man carrying a guitar comes up and starts running along with me. And
was he playing a theme song?
He was not playing a theme song. Dun, 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 but he goes, dun, you think we'll make, you know, what plane are you getting on? He goes, LA. And I said, me too. You think we'll make it? I go, well, we can try. And a third guy came up and he had an autograph book. And he said to the guy, Mr. Barry, can I have an autograph? And it was Chuck Berry.
Oh,
and he said,
God.
Sure. And Chuck is, with his free hand, he never let go of the guitar case. It's like, can I hold that for you, Chuck? No, I got it. He signed Chuck Berry, and the other guy peeled off, and we went right on. And the plane was like, wow. I'm going to play with Chuck Berry. And then we went right on the plane, and then he just stopped in first class. And it's like, oh, yeah, I'm in coach. All right, bye.
That's fun. I've never heard that story
before. No, it was great. It was great.
That's
great.
Really cute.
Yeah, it was really fun.
That's really better.
This guy, I don't know who the other dude was, but he, you know, he got Chuck Berry's autograph and peeled off.
That's really funny, Paul.
That's fun. That was good. No.
And that's exactly how it happens, you
yeah.
know? Like,
yeah.
It's just boom. Like, all of a sudden, you're in it.
Oh, and then, like in London, we were getting ready to fly back from London. There's a little girl, and you're wearing the same T-shirts. Or you had the same T-shirts.
No, she liked my T-shirt.
Oh, she had...
Because we had been to see Sir Ian McKellen in drag.
Mm.
Yeah.
Doing mm-hmm. a pantomime as
oh, wow.
Aladdin's mother, the Widow Twankey.
Yeah.
Nice.
In
yeah.
London on the West End. It was,
yeah,
it was
been
so... Do you like how I got like this hoity-toity voice when I was...
And he pitched us out afterwards. We went backstage to say hi, and he totally pitched us out.
He did not bitch us out. He was very gracious.
No, but that's
tired.
His way of being friendly.
Yeah, he was very, very nice.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so...
Even though I was a guy who was screamed, hey, Magneto, pull on your pants.
Yeah, it was, hey, Magneto, put some pants on. Is
that's
what
right.
I yelled. Oh, no, and you're encouraged
yeah.
to yell. At
oh, really?
Stage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt bad for him for
a second. They're kind of a free-for-all, you know?
Okay.
It's like they encourage you to yell. I mean, you don't want to be derisive.
It's pantomime,
yeah.
but everybody's talking, and then they encourage the audience to heckle them.
It's just fun.
It's
a
great,
tradition.
Yeah. Oh,
so we
great.
Were there over the holiday. Actually, it was our anniversary.
Yes.
And we were on the
plane. No, our honeymoon.
That's what I meant. Yeah, sorry. And we were getting on the plane, and we were in the first class check-in line, and there was a young lady in front of us, and she was talking. She saw my shirt, and I was wearing a shirt with his image on it. I'll pull it and show it to you. It's very funny. He's got rollers and curlers in his hair, and
oh,
he's wearing
fantastic.
Like a big house coat. It's really cute. And she said, I saw that show. And so she was little, probably six, maybe.
I think so, yeah.
And was started talking to me. And of course, you know, I always have a magic trick, especially for a little kid. And so I made friends with her. And then she said, I want you to meet my mommy. And her mom was Kate Beckinsale.
Holy.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it did. Well, that's, see, I did it so that
yeah.
you would experience the way I did.
Yeah.
You know, but she was, and who I have to say, I have never seen a good picture of. She looks smoking hot in
yeah.
movies and on photographs, but when you see her in person, I have never, no offense, but I have never seen a more beautiful woman in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was just looking at her. She is so perfectly proportioned, but she is like I have never seen a woman
she,
that beautiful
she looked
in
very,
person before.
Now that was sort of like, you know, she had done kind of like a 30 years later elegance for plane travel because she was dressed very stylishly.
She was dressed in like Beverly Hills high leather boots and a trendy vest and like a beret. And
yeah,
she,
for wintertime.
Yeah, you know. She looked like she was going to get off the plane and expected to have her photo.
She looked like she was going, like walking around Knightsbridge.
You kind of look like her, Emily. Emily is here, and she's always a silent partner. We need to get her a microphone, because
yeah.
she's very interesting and fun and very unique, and she's an artist, and she's really cool.
We
but she looks like Kate Beckinsale. She's pretty hot. Kate Beckinsale and Emily, both smoking hot. Anyway.
We always run into interesting people at the airport, you know, like run into Kevin and Jennifer Smith a couple of times
mm-hmm.
at the airport.
That was the first time I met them.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. right. One time I was dropping my dad off at the airport, and he gets out of the plane, and there's Kevin just having a smoke out at LAX. You know, just...
You would think that Kevin just hangs out at airports. Like,
well,
with all
he
these
might.
Airports. Well, no, he's always flying somewhere.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, he is. He's,
well, he just bought that bus, though, so he doesn't fly anymore.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. He,
oh.
he got sick of the whole flying thing.
Well,
yeah.
he had a bad experience.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, if you fly these days, everybody has a bad experience.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
My hard time on a plane is when people are inconsiderate of my airspace. Uh-huh. And that, I don't really want to go into it. It's when people eat things they shouldn't have eaten before they get on the plane and everyone around them has to suffer as a result of their indigestion. When you're in recycled air, don't eat if you get sick.
I have two stories, two fast stories.
We have got to wrap this up.
One, my worst flight, actual flight experience was flying across Australia on Ansett Airlines, which is usually a really good airline. But I was flying from Darwin to Hobart, and I felt like I was falling downstairs. I don't know what it was.
Wow.
But the plane was pitching and weaving so much, it was like I was going to, if I wasn't belted in, I was going to smash up against the cabin. Yikes. Everybody.
Because the Tasmanian tiger was, or Tasmanian devil was flying it.
Well, something like that. And I'm going,
or
like,
there's something on the wing of the plane.
Yeah.
A gremlin.
Yeah. Kangaroos bouncing on the wing of the plane. And it's like, I'm going to crash on Ayers Rock and be dead, and then quolls are going to come and eat my body.
That is not a bad way to go.
No, eaten by quolls?
Well, crashing into Ayers Rock and being dead already, and then quolls eating you. Quolls are all right. They're really cute.
Well, they're really cute. Oh, you know what? We didn't talk about
last time.
They're
even cuter with, like, arms hanging off their mouth.
Oh, everything is cuter when they've got body parts hanging out of their mouth.
All right. And the other one was flying back from New York after I won the first Emmy for Tiny Toons. Oh, you remember, you know this story. Okay, this is great.
I like this story.
Warner Brothers, very generously, when we were first nominated for Tiny Toons, and this is back in 92 or something like that, we were up for the Emmy Award. It was a great trip because they flew all the writers and the directors out, and they put us up in a hotel, and then we went to the Emmy Awards, and we won. And it was like Radio City or something like that. Oh, nice. And we're on stage, and we win, and it's great. And or it might have been the Marriott Marquis. I forget where it was. But anyway, so we have the Emmys, and we bring them back. And we're all scattered through a coach. And I wind up sitting with Sherry Stoner in a three-way seat. It's like Sherry's on the island. I'm in the middle. And there's a girl who's not in our group, like a student, on the window seat. And we are surrounded by Frenchmen, these tourists. And these guys smelled so bad. I mean, they were dripping with cologne. I have a bad problem with certain perfumes that I can get a headache instantly and just get sick. Mm-hmm. And this was doing the whim-whams on me. And they were all clustered around Sherry, and they all decided, we're going to pick up Sherry. And they were all talking to her, and one of them opened up a lunch bag he had with me. He goes, would you like some dried fish?
Oh.
So he had dried smell.
That's
and Sherry
not
Stoner
cool.
is going like, no, thank you. And she looks at me like this. She goes like, oh. And the other girl, the student next to me, she's gone. She's huddled into a fetal ball and trying to force herself into the seat back pocket. You know, it's like, I'm gone. No. And I'm in the middle and I'm going, you know, would you like some dried fish? And they had hunks of dried fish and they were giving it to her and they were hitting on her. And it's like, oh, you went in New York.
Wait, if you come with me, you get all the dried fish you want.
That's right. And I said to her, right quick.
And I'm looking at her and I said, no wonder Chuck Jones made that skunk French, right? You know, right? And she's going, shut up. Oh. She was just miserable. And then we were on the tarmac for an hour. Us, the Frenchmen, and the dried fish.
And you can't roll a window down in an airplane.
No, you can't.
You got to sit there and
take it.
Sorry,
buddy. Yeah, well, boy.
That's a great place to go out on, I think.
You know, the Tavern at the Green, we're all sitting there with our Emmys, and we're all being frightfully witty. It's like, oh, what a wonderful night. Manhattan is at our feet. The next, you know, 12 hours later, would you like some dried fish?
That's the wheel a terrible turns. Weekend.
I think we better wrap it up. I think that we'll leave it on that note.
We will like to offer all of you dried fish.
Dried fish. A happy dried fish.
Yes. Happy dried fish, everyone.
Happy dried fish, every flying fish.
Flying fish. Very nice. That's it. I guess, you know, we've crossed the friendly skies. That's all we got for this time. So we're ready to do the plane.
Bye-bye, everybody.
See you later.
See you at baggage claim.
Oh.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come on and fly with me, let's fly away. Come fly with me, let's float down to Peru. In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you. Come on, fly with me, let's take off in the blue. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so near, you may hear all the angels cheer, because we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a lovely day. Just say the words and we'll beat the birds down to Acapulco Bay. It is perfect for a flying honeymoon. They say, come fly with me, let's fly away. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so very near, you might even hear a whole gang of cheers, just because we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a cuckoo day. You just say those words and we'll take our birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's so perfect for a flying honeymoon. Oh, babe, come fly with me. Let's fly, let's fly. Don't tell your mama.